You're with us on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Senators started debate yesterday afternoon over the rules that will guide the impeachment trial of President Trump. Supreme Court Chief Justice John Roberts is presiding over the trial. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell wants a swift one. Do you hope the trial wraps up quickly? Are you following this? What procedures confuse you? What witnesses and documents are you keyed in on? We're at 800-642-1234. Kim Whaley is a visiting professor and fellow in law and government at American University's Washington College of Law. Kim, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Happy to be here. Good morning.
Well, catch us up as we slept. 13 hours of debate on the Senate floor. What was accomplished?
Well, we have a set of procedures that will govern the trial that are largely based on the procedures that were in place for the Clinton impeachment. Of course, there are some major differences in this process, primarily that the Clinton impeachment was based on a four-year independent counsel investigation, Ken Starr's investigation that I was part of. So there was a huge record going into that trial. Here, the rub is that there is not a big record. There was no independent counsel. There was no special prosecutor. There was no grand jury. So Democrats wanted and still want to have a process to call new witnesses and bring new evidence into the trial. And yesterday, the Senate Republicans successfully basically voted down all the motions that would have amended the rules to allow witnesses, at least at this stage.
Yeah, so the Senate rejected the amendments to subpoena records from White House, from State Department, from Defense Department and Office of Management and Budget related to the Ukraine probe. Where does that leave us with evidence then for this trial?
Yeah, so one thing that did shift was originally Mitch McConnell's first proposal would have had zero evidence, including the evidence that was developed at the House phase, and that was changed at some point by handwritten amendment that was switched to allow that evidence coming in addition to allow 3 days per side versus 2 days per side, which helps some of us not be up into the wee hours of the morning watching all of this. I think in terms of best practices, in terms of what the American people will have access to in witnessing, something of this gravity, there will not be a complete record going forward on as far as at least this point, as far as whether the president should be removed from office based on these two allegations. And clearly the Republicans, I think, are correct to the extent to which Democrats could have used the courts to force the president's hand. That being said, the president did an unprecedented stonewalling, refusal to comply at all, basically thumbing his nose at the impeachment power, which is in the Constitution six times. So the president really is largely to blame for not playing ball at all with our constitutional structure of government. And the American people are the people who lose in this, regardless of political party, because we just won't know the facts unless Democrats get four Senate Republicans to agree after the opening arguments to allow witnesses in.
So just after midnight there, President Trump's legal team exchanged really heated words with Representative Jerry Nadler, the Democratic impeachment manager. What was at the heart of this exchange?
Well, it looks like they were kind of griping at each other about matters that the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court said was not germane and appropriate to the issue. And it was a rare moment in which the Chief Justice basically rebuked both sides for kind of degrading, and these are my words, the sanctity of the process. That being said, I think the Chief Justice also could step up a little more and to ensure that what actually is said in the chamber is accurate, that the process is fair, that the process he does under the Constitution have the power to preside over the trial. That's not defined. So he could take a more active role, arguably, in allowing this to actually be a trial. A trial involves evidence. The Constitution references trials twice more, at least in the Sixth Amendment right to criminal trials and the Seventh Amendment right to civil trials, and mentions witnesses in the Sixth Amendment. So the framers assume trials would have evidence. I think Chief Justice Roberts showed that he is going to be an umpire in that moment and not allow sort of griping. But the bigger question really is, is he going to take a more active role to ensure that the process is thorough? And it looks like at this moment, the answer is no.
Yeah, because right now it's more of a ceremonial role, it looks like, with the Chief Justice there.
Right. He's sort of reading pieces of paper that are put in front of him and banging the gavel to basically, kind of confirm the political decisions by the majority party. And some of us constitutional scholars are a little concerned about this because the framers did not anticipate political parties. And we're, this is about Democrats versus Republicans. And what's getting lost is the structure of oversight that the Constitution set up for the office of the presidency, not just Donald Trump. And you arguably just Chief Justice Roberts, could be more affirmative in setting the rules for his own courtroom. But we're not seeing that so far. And, I fear that the impeachment process itself will just become illegitimate going forward. And then we have to ask ourselves, what is the check on the presidency? Because even if you're a supporter of Donald Trump, he won't always be in office. There will be someone in office most of us don't like, and we can't turn to impeachment in the future as a meaningful check on the presidency. And the framers are really worried about that.
We're speaking with Kim Whaley. She's a visiting professor and fellow in law and government at American University. Your thoughts on the impeachment trial in the Senate, 800-642-1234. Kim, you're really concerned that all the relevant facts are not being put forth in the Senate. What more should the Senate know, and how could they obtain that information as we're seeing, the amendments being rejected?
Yeah, so I did a piece in an online magazine called The Bulwark this week that basically traces all of the evidence that has come out since the December 20th vote on the articles of impeachment that's come out through other sources. We have Freedom of Information Act requests that a federal judge basically required the Office of Management and Budget to respond to. We know from emails that the decision to withhold the aid was just 90 minutes after the July 25th phone call. We know from documents that were released through Lev Parnas's lawyers getting the authorization of a federal judge. They've been in the coffers of DOJ since October because of a raid on Lev Parnas, who is a former Giuliani associate who's under indictment for campaign finance violations in the Southern District of New York. We know that there were top-level officials involved in the freezing of the aid in the Ukraine, the pressure campaign against Ukraine, including arguably Attorney General Barr, Devin Nunes in the House Republican side, the House Intelligence Committee Minority Chair Mick Mulvaney, numerous officials that should really be called to testify, because if the issue really on the table factually is why did the president do this? Was it because of corruption, rooting out corruption, or was it to basically sway the next election? Then people who had firsthand knowledge should testify. And if those people say, listen, I'll confirm the president really cared about Ukrainian corruption, then that should be good for Trump. And I think it's a fair question. If there's so much pressure to not bring these witnesses forward, what would they say? And if they'd say something that would raise eyebrows with the American public deserves to hear that, because this is really about election security, the sanctity of our elections, and election security is national security. And Republicans have made the argument that impeachment undermines an election and that senators shouldn't make that determination. But the flip side is, the concern is, well, should Russia make that determination? Should other countries that are infiltrating our electoral system, according to Robert Mueller, be making that determination? And some of us would argue the impeachment clause is a better way of a kind of, quote, taking an election away from Americans because it's in the Constitution than is Russian interference. And that is ongoing. And Donald Trump has welcomed it.
Kim,
that's the new normal.
Kim, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Kate.
Kim Whaley, visiting professor at American University. You hear her on the Ideas Network.